This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Two special guests joining us right now in real time. Please give a warm welcome to the two Marks from Weird New Jersey, Mark Moran and Mark Skirman. They are the co-founders of Weird New Jersey. That's weirdnj.com. And yes, I am joined by my co-host and these very lovely gentlemen. Let's bring them right on in. And boys, what's going on?
Well, you know, Mike, I think Mark and Mark are going to start to interview you guys. Okay?
Oh, my.
So, all right. So, first of all, what does end of day really mean? Is it like the end of the world, the earth? Is the world going to fall apart? Or?
Well, first of all, that's not really the name of the program anymore. So I think you were given false sort of information.
Fake news.
All right. So what is the name of the program? I'll regurgitate my thoughts.
No worries. It's called the Michael Deacon Program. It's a little bit more classier.
Oh. You can see how much more professional we are.
It's very professional.
All right. So it's the Michael Deacon Program. So are you predicting the end of days?
Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. The way things are working right now, it kind of seems like it is the end of days, especially for some parts of the world where things are quite grim. But I'm someone who likes that sort of thing, even though I'm not religious. I kind of want to see the end of times, the end of days, when some sort of messiah comes from the sky and destroys the earth. I mean, I love that.
Yeah, well, more seems like we're right on the precipice of that, so you might be in luck, or maybe luck isn't the right word, but you know, the civilization has lasted a long time, but it's got to fall apart sometime, right?
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and sooner or later those aliens are going to land, and it's going to take over the whole world.
I hope
they're
going
to land in California first.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Well, hopefully they take out New Jersey first before California.
I think New Jersey is going to be like cockroaches. It'll be the last thing to go.
I mean, it's already cockroaches now with Chris Christie out there. That's another embarrassment for New Jersey, by the way, that Chris Christie. But that's a whole other show. Gentlemen, I do want to welcome you both to the program. It's quite the honor and pleasure to have you guys. And I first came across you gentlemen through the show Weird US, by the way, long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that's That's got to be like 17 years ago now.
That's right. Yeah, wow. It's a long ass time ago. I think it was around, what was it, 2005?
2005 into 2006. Yeah, we shot 14 hour long episodes of that for the History Channel. And, we traveled around the country and we saw some really strange things and met some even stranger people.
I bet.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yes, and these kind of shows, the paranormal, shows about Bigfoot, cryptids, that sort of jazz, they've made a significant comeback, and these shows are always back in style. Well, they come back in style, and these things sort of work in cycles, as you guys know.
Yeah, well, we're guests on a show on the Travel Channel now called Paranormal Caught on Camera, and it seems that the Travel Channel shows nothing but paranormal shows now.
Nowadays,
it's amazing to see how much these cable channels have all changed in the time since we were on the History Channel. Because, you know, we consider what we were doing a history in a folklore kind of way. The History Channel had a real problem with it. They didn't see it as history. And now you'd be hard pressed to find any history on the History Channel, I think.
Yeah, it's true. It's pretty wild. And I would say 2007 was sort of the peak for television networks sort of broadcasting these sort of paranormal shows. It seems like 2007 was a really heavy year for that. And again, it's making a cycle back. It's the new black. And you guys are in a perfect place right now. You guys have pitched out a new show, and I think you guys are working with Sony Pictures, correct?
Well, yes, they license our content, so let's see what they do with it. Let's hope they do something very great.
Yes.
Well, this show is sort of more exciting to us than other shows that have been pitched to us over the years. A lot of people had approached us about doing like a reality kind of a thing or another documentary type series like the History Channel was. But they really missed the point, because our stuff is, you know, we're telling stories, and people have to use their imagination for a lot of them. It's not necessarily someplace you can go and film and it's gonna you know, end up looking just like the folklore, or you know, you can't go to a place and be guaranteed a paranormal experience. So this show with Sony is a fictionalized drama based on the material that we've compiled over the years. So it would be scripted and acted out. And so I think it has a lot more potential than other projects that people have approached us about.
And
we believe it's going to be filmed in New Jersey. So if we have any partake in it, it's going to be either like location scouts or just like reading the script and fine-tuning it a little bit.
Narrating.
And you guys have been doing this for a long time. Way back, it started, I believe, 1989.
Mike, I think it started around 1910.
1910? God damn.
We're actually with Edison when he invented his first movie.
You know, it's funny that a lot of people quote that 1989 date, and that's really fake news.
That
people quote that because it's somehow whoever originally put a Wikipedia page together for us, and, you know, somebody we didn't know, they put that up there. And like just about everything else on Wikipedia, it's not fact-checked at all. The first issue of Weird New Jersey that Mark put out was in 1993. So I don't know where that 1989 date came from. And if that's significant, because this marks our 30-year anniversary. So
Jesus.
Since 1993.
Are you guys not tired of each other yet?
Well, you know, it's a perfect business operation. So let's put it that way.
I have a question.
First of all, hello, guys. How are you? It's Mike Hideous here.
Mike Hideous.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. I didn't even know you were here.
You don't talk to anybody that's last name is called Hideous.
Right.
First and foremost, hello. And I do have a quick question here. Now, I've known Mark Skirman since, oh, my goodness, since the early 90s. I believe him and I formally met around 1994.
Not 1989, right?
Not 89.
Okay.
Now. So here's something weird that you just mentioned. That, Mark, you said you put out the first Weird New Jersey magazine. What was it, 93, you said, Moran?
That's the closest we can figure.
Okay.
It's like a gray area, you know. I was just like throwing around little flyers here and there to my friends. But 93 is kind of like a good zone, I guess, to get in.
Okay, so here's my question then. So when did you and Moran actually start working together on the magazine?
I think probably right around issue number 7.
I had contributed. I think my earliest contributions go back to issue number 4 or 5. So that was probably a year after, probably 94.
Well, I remember it specifically. Me and Mark were sitting at the Franklin Tavern. We just got back from, where were we, photographing Midgetville or something. And I said, you know, Mark, do you think a magazine like this would work? And he goes, yeah, I think so. So I said, all right, let's do it together. Because before then, it was just like a mishmash of, whatever. I was learning to type on a typewriter. That's why I started the magazine. So I could practice typing on a real typewriter, you know, like not a computer typewriter.
Right. So you guys start them. Well, Mark Skirman, you start the magazine basically by doing what's called a fanzine, by I guess photocopying the papers, the pages, stapling them together, and then distributing them that way. So when did it come to a point where it actually started getting printed and the publication became more than just like 100 copies? When did you start getting like a mass production?
Well,
I'm sure it just kept going higher and higher, but when was your first large press run?
Probably like issue 6 or 7. 7 was the first time we had a one color, on the front cover.
Yeah. It's kind of, it never really went, took that tremendous leap, a leap forward. It started out with us basically Xeroxing the right. pages and stapling them together. Then by issue 4, we were getting the pages printed at like a quick print place, and then we were sitting around the kitchen table and collating them and folding them. Right. And then by issue 7. We had one color, a second color. So there was red on the cover as well as the black print. And then issue 8 was actually printed and stapled for the first time.
At a printing.
So then it just, kept getting a little bit bigger each time. A few issues later, we started using full color photos on some of the pages. Then eventually we went to glossy stock and full color throughout. So it was really a snowballing thing where we just kept making it. As we started selling more of them, we started, we had the money to, actually, it all went to the printer, basically.
Right.
It all went to Kinko's.
Yeah. And you got to remember, this is at the time where, like, fanzines were, like, I was enthralled with old, I used to subscribe to this magazine called Fact Sheet 5.
I remember that.
That would just like print everybody's fanzine. You know, it was like Log Cabin Monthly or anything. It was like anything anybody was into, they would just, review it. And if you wanted to buy it, you'd send 50 cents to this guy in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, It was a very networking way before the internet.
Way before.
Yeah, it's a long, long time before the
internet. I think the magazine really took a giant step forward with the advent of the internet, because we got onto it. We had a website very early on, at a time when most people were really just putting up pictures of flying toasters and stuff.
Yes.
we actually had content because, it was around 96, so we already had 3 years of content that we could put up. And when we did that, there was really a real groundswell of attention locally. And I think that interest from that is what you know, when we went into a bookstore to try to sell them some magazines on consignment, you know, that was kind of our entree, because people had already started to hear about it through word of mouth and then through the internet.
For those that are younger, in those days, people had fanzines. Many bands used those things, and it's very punk rock, by the way. And of course, you gentlemen are from New Jersey, and know Mike. So, you know, I'm not far off from assumptions I already have in my mind. When did you guys run into Mr. Mike Hideous?
Should we really tell this story?
Is going to land him in jail.
I hope the FBI's not listening.
Were you a gentleman me too'd by Mike?
That's how I
met Mike.
I work for a music newspaper called The Aquarian Weekly, and Mike was a sales representative.
Right. Oh, and in fact, most people don't know this, but for a couple of seasons, I wouldn't say years, but seasons on and off, I actually did work for Mark Skirman and Mark Moran, selling ad space within Weird New Jersey magazine before they got the television show, and well, before they got the book publishing deal. What was it, Barnes and Nobles or Borders?
Mike, I was going to say that before you interrupted me.
I'm terribly sorry.
Selling advertising for Weird New Jersey magazine.
Yeah, and before that, I had even submitted some imagery, drawings, and even I think I even did one or two stories for the publication as well.
Yes, you did. I don't know them offhand. Something about
crows.
A murder of crows or something like that.
20,000 crows coming from the west on Route 46 in Totowa, New Jersey. Little Falls, actually.
Yes.
I remember that.
That murder is still there, Mike. I still see it sometimes. Our office is in Little Falls now, and that's really just right around the corner from where we work.
An amazing sight, isn't it?
It is.
I would sit there and watch, like, just thousands and thousands of crows come in from the west and then roost at night right along the Totowa Little Falls area, all along the Route 46 area by the fast food shops.
Yes, it's right on, like, I think it's either Browertown or Lower Notch Road and Route 46. For some reason, they just love that area. I guess it's just an ancestral roost for them.
I think so.
You know, Mike, I got to say, you were like, you're a very funny guy. I always love talking to you on the phone. I never am up for, you know, lost for words.
Well, that's good. Thank you, Mark.
And the one time Mike Hideous brought in his high school yearbook.
Oh, my.
To work. And he managed to take every photo in his high school yearbook and kind of erase it with. Erase photos with an eraser, then draw like some really, like, you know, obscene photos of every one of the people he hated in high school.
Damn, Mike, I had no idea you had such hate in your heart.
I actually made two copies of it on the copier at work, and I still have one to this day. It's called The Hideous Years.
That's right.
Wow.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Just a long story short, basically what happened is I took this yearbook of mine and I took a majority of the photos and erased the images, like portions of the face.
Erased the ink off.
Right. And then I would redraw it with either pencil or black pen and create anything from people with tentacle arms to, you know, people with giant members.
Well, that's a good thing, you know, Mike. You know, hearing about this, I'm glad you didn't turn into Adam Lanza.
One guy had a big penis sticking in his mouth. I remember that.
Oh, shit. So Mike has always been a creative lad.
Perverted.
A perverted lad.
Perverted or creative?
Well, creative.
Yeah, well, either or.
That is hilarious.
It is. I got to show you the picture someday, Michael.
Yeah, I need to see that.
You do.
Oh, I put it up online. Did you?
Don't do that.
Oh, shit.
You'll get me sued.
So anyway, what do you guys actually talk about?
All kinds of things. Everything under the sun.
That's from
I mean, the last show we did was a Celebrity Death Pool. So just goes to show you how far we really go.
Say again, Mark.
Who's going to be dying next? Is that the pool?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's a it's a top 10 list of celebrities that we think are going to drop. And yeah, we do things like that. We have interviews from all kinds of walks of life.
Right.
Yeah.
Politics. Yeah. Paranormal, ghost hunters, Satanists, conspiracy theorists. You name it.
Everything. It's like musicians. New Jersey.
Yeah.
Basically. Yep. And you know, we have a great time here. Sometimes it's kind of dark. Sometimes it's a bit more happy. But today it's a pretty laid back sort of program with both of you, Marks. The Marks, Mark and Mark.
Mark and Mark.
Yeah.
Mike and Mike.
Well, then let's smoke some weed.
Well, I mean, we could. I mean, we could do that.
How laid back you want to get?
Well, Mark, you know, I'm kind of taken back here because, you know, I was like, you know, these guys, the Sony Pictures have bought the rights to your content, and that sort of means I need to be on my best behavior. But now it seems like, you know, you want to smoke weed, you're drinking beer now. Right. I'm like, whoa.
This is his best behavior.
Wow.
Yes. You don't see me in the morning.
Wow. Well, you're doing it right then. Well, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I applaud you for that, Mark. You're drinking, you're smoking, you're doing it all. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
You sure can. It's always welcome here. And of course, we do take phone calls whenever people want. But I've noticed some people are a little, you know, they get a little shy and they don't really always want to call in. And that's too bad. It's too damn bad. It really is.
Piss on them.
Yes. And going back to, you know, the show and all of that, I was just going to ask you guys, did you ever expect to, do you ever expect that this would be going on this long?
Or reach the levels that it did?
That too.
I think the most surprised people in this world were me and Mark Moran, because we thought, aha, funny, weird New Jersey, aha, let's have a couple of issues and make a good laugh out of it. But then it just didn't stop.
I can remember thinking after issue number 8. Now, bear in mind, we're on issue number 60 now. Wow. I can remember thinking after issue 8, well, I guess that's it. We had a pretty good run.
Yeah.
A damn good run. I mean, you guys have been together for longer than most marriages.
And then the next thing, I guess that we were about 10 issues beyond that, maybe 15 issues beyond that, was when we first got the call from Barnes & Noble, and they wanted to make a book. And I thought, okay, well, we'll make a book, and that'll be the end of that, you know, because, I mean, where are you going to go after you make a book? You know, you've put together 20 issues, let's say, and you're going to compile them into a book, and we did the book, and that was very successful. But you know, there was always another issue on the horizon, 6 months away. You know, we're always working on the next issue, and it never stopped. And then in the midst of all that, you know, the first book was such a great success that they wanted to do a series of books. So we were contracted to do books on other states as well as New Jersey. And we did a second New Jersey book. We did a national book. Then we started doing individual state books. So somehow in the middle of doing 30 books and working on the issues, you know, we got the History Channel TV show. So all of that was going on simultaneously. And when you...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, you remember that primarily it's just a two-man operation. That's a lot of balls to juggle or plates to spin at one time.
Right. You know, like when you think back on it, Mark, it's just like, how the fuck did we do it? I mean, yeah. You know, we were like constantly, we would go to Minnesota one day, then to Florida the next day.
Wow.
And we'd go home and write some stories for the Barnes & Noble, and then we'd go back to Minnesota again.
That's crazy.
We didn't get a lot of sleep in those days.
You know, I was just going to ask how you guys even juggled such a thing when you're researching all these folklores and information about ghosts and haunted houses and so on and so forth. In addition to now doing a book, how long did it take you to do one book?
The first New Jersey book was relatively easy because we had such a backlog of material already. And then, we tried to include new material so that... But that was kind of like bringing everybody up to speed. You know, it was kind of like catching up with Weird New Jersey for all those people who hadn't heard of it before. So the book exposed us to a larger audience than our magazine was an underground magazine. I mean, it still is to a large extent, even more so now than it was, say, 10 years ago, because most bookstores that carried it have gone out of business. So,
wow.
We're basically underground once again. I mean, yeah. There are no more Borders, Brentano's, B. Dalton, Walden, all of those stores are gone. So, basically we're an underground publication again.
You're the last of your breed, it seems.
I think we are. We're probably like the last independent magazine left in America. Well,
yeah.
In New Jersey.
For sure. And, you know, Mike was telling me about you boys, and he was describing to me who you guys are, and I just stopped him right away. And I'm like, I know who these guys are. I've seen them on TV a long time ago. And, you know, and kind of now, you know, I've seen you guys come out on shows and stuff. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for you guys. You guys are very punk rock.
Absolutely. Totally underground. Yeah.
I love
that.
We
haven't hit the power ballad yet. Right?
It's soon. It's coming.
Well, you know, we never accepted any kind of partnership with anybody. We never allowed anybody to take over the distribution of the magazine, aside from accepting advertising to kind of offset the tremendous print bills that we have. There is no corporate sponsorship. Yeah. There's nothing like that. We're completely independent. You know, there is no corporation. It's a DIY project from start to finish.
Mr. Moran, what is, if I may ask, what is the print run up to these days?
Oh, I don't even. You'd have to ask Mark that.
We're probably around 20,000 every 6 months.
That's amazing.
And we sell 20,000 every.
That's fantastic. And you know, I've got pretty much all the first issues except issue one and issue two. I have everything.
Well, that'll cost you $20 if you go on.
There you go, Mike.
That's amazing. I have a question for you now. So you're doing currently, if I remember correctly, you are currently doing Paranormal Caught on Camera, the television show. What is it on AMC or not AMC?
Travel Channel.
So you're still doing that, right?
This is our sixth season.
Okay. So my question is to you is this, and if you don't want to answer it, that's fine. We can move on, but
let's move on.
As the publishers of a great magazine like Weird New Jersey and covering such great stories of, you know, the death seat and the haunted Clinton Road and the haunting of this house and blah, blah, blah. What is your view?
Please don't say that.
What's your view on paranormal activity and that sort of thing?
Well, I'm not really a ghost hunter. You know, we're journalists. We read about ghosts. We know what, you know, ghosts are supposed to do and everything, but we're not really ghost hunters. So when we see the videos on Paranormal Con on Camera, which involves like ghost hunters, it's like, it's hard to really make a crazy opinion on it. I just do what I think is going on.
So they basically...
the thing is that they show us videos, the same videos that the people at home are watching, and they ask us our opinion on them.
Right.
In some cases, you can usually tell if you think it's a hoax or
right.
But then there are other cases where you're truly dumbfounded by what's been captured, and you get to kind of share your expertise, I guess, or at least your considered opinion on what might be happening. And you know, since we've been following this sort of material for a long time, we can kind of relate how something that's captured on video might correlate with other things that we've seen or other stories that we've covered. So in that respect, we do have a sort of an expertise in the field. But at the same time, we're just as, you know, sort of mystified by some of the things that we see as would be anybody who's watching the show at home. I mean, everybody's entitled to form their own opinion. We're just there to give our take on it. And, you know, sometimes we're not too impressed. Sometimes we're completely flabbergasted. You know, it has to be seen, and everybody gets to make their own opinion. But some of the videos are truly, and it's not just the ghost stuff. I mean, there are people that capture Bigfoots and UFOs, and some of them are really, really hard to just explain away.
Right.
The ones that are really good are the ones that are submitted by, you know, people who see the show and say, oh, I've got a video I captured on my phone, and they send it in. Even more so than the people who, you know, let's say the YouTubers who are out there like ghost hunting, paranormal investigators and stuff, because I think you have less chance of capturing something amazing if you're out looking for it. I think that the things that really are surprising and sort of awesome are the things that were captured completely unbeknownst to the person who was filming.
It's easy to be skeptical. You know, you don't. The show is not about being skeptical. The show is entertainment. You know, you can form your own opinion.
Sure.
And great question there, Mike. And just to follow up on these sort of programs, do you guys actually watch these shows yourself? You know, there's been like Ghost Hunters International, and you have like Zach Bagans out there. You have all these shows. What do you think of these other programs? Like, I got to know.
I don't really watch much of them, to be truthful with you. I once in a while when I, you know, scroll through the TV, I'll watch them, but I don't really watch much of them.
You don't give a shit, in other words.
What's that?
He said you don't give a shit, Mark.
Well, you know.
You know, I have to I agree with Mark on that. I don't really watch too many of the ghost hunting shows either.
How can you? You guys are so busy all the time.
Yeah, well, there's that. I mean, there's also, you know, we're constantly compiling that sort of material
right.
from eyewitnesses here in New Jersey. And so, you know, some of the best ghost stories aren't caught on camera. They're just told by people who send us emails, hey, I saw this. And if they seem like they're credible people, and we're not there to judge them. We're there to pass along a good story. And it's up to the reader to decide whether they want to believe it or not. Generally, we feel that most people aren't trying to pull, you know, the wool over our eyes. And what would their payoff be for doing that? You know, we don't give them money for the stories that they share. In that case, we hear great stories about ghosts that people have seen all the time. I find that with a lot of those ghost hunting shows, they spend a lot of time looking for ghosts and not a lot of time finding them.
Yeah, that's the problem, though. You know, you're not always going to find any sort of quote-unquote paranormal activity. And, you know, when you're having a show with a network paying you all kinds of money, sometimes you have to embellish some of these findings. And a lot of these programs I mentioned have been caught faking stuff. You know, they were caught faking the funk, in other words.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, you know, That's just, that's, it's entertainment.
That's TV.
No, it's not the Science Channel.
Right, right. And, you know, there was another program, I think it was called the Holzer Files, I believe. And there's this, right. There's this gentleman by the name of Dave Schrader, who was on some sort of a ghost hunt. And he's standing there with an EMF reader, and he's talking to his coworkers there, essentially. And he sort of just, he gets pushed over. But, you know, going back and looking at that as many times as I have, it looks like that was a pretty fake.
Yeah, you know, if I may add, Mark Skirman, you may remember this. When Mark was, when they were getting the television show, I actually sent in a tape to Mark Skirman, an audition tape. I was looking to be a, not a host, a reporter, if you will, on special assignment. And I sent Mark a videotape of me doing this story.
That'd be great if they had you on there.
Down in Newark, New Jersey.
I remember about that tape, Mike.
Do you really? Okay.
Yeah
it was down
in. They were pointing out a shadow on the building.
That's right.
Was it an ITT building? What was the? There was some initials on it.
That's right. It was an AT&T building.
Yeah.
In Newark, right on, right off where 21 turns
MacArthur
into
MacArthur Highway.
MacArthur
right
Highway.
The mighty Passaic River.
That's right. So here's what happened. I was with a friend. We had been. I don't know. We were out late that night. So it's like 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, and here we are on the side of the highway, parked. And I've got my video camera out, and I've got a buddy hitting record so I can do the commentary, if you will. And I'm, you know, I'm looking to do goofy stuff. I don't take myself seriously unless I've got serious information. So we see this building, and there was an American flag that had been folded in such a manner that it cast a shadow on the building that looked almost precisely like an alien, like a gray. Face with the big eyes. So, you know, I go down and I do this, you know, I get in front of the, I come up from the bottom of the camera into the screen, and I'm saying something like, you know, AT&T or Contact for Aliens. So yeah, unfortunately I didn't get the part, but that was my connection to the trying to get an audition tape to the Weird New Jersey, or I should say Weird USA, right? Weird USA.
Well, you know, Mike, one day when we compile all those VHS tapes.
Oh, please do.
Might be on our.
Please do. I want to see that footage.
Oh, that was a good time, man. That was a good time.
That is hilarious. We got to play that footage here on the program for everyone.
I wish I still had it. Did we just lose Mark? Oh, there he is.
Great. I'm here, right?
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure. I think you turned your camera off, right?
By the way, we do have a question for you boys in the chat room. Someone's asking, what do these guys think is the best equipment?
Best equipment for
what? Assuming, ghost hunting? I'm assuming ghost hunting.
Or beer drinking. What?
Well, we know what beer, yeah, we know what the best tools are for beer drinking, but in terms of paranormal investigating, I guess you can say.
You know, we like Mark said earlier, we are not really personally in the ghost hunting field, but we have people, as with just about everything with the magazine, if there's somebody we know who has that field of expertise. So when we have somebody contacts us and they want someone to come in and do a ghost investigation, we go to the experts, and then in this case it's our friends at Barefoot Paranormal here in New Jersey, because they have all of the equipment, the EMV meters and
the discombobulators and
right, you know, so they can capture, you know, infrared and you know, all of the voice recording equipment. So we don't need to buy all of that, the electronic gizmos ourselves, because, we have, you know, people that we work with who have all of that. I think that, you know, the big thing about, electronics is that sometimes it facilitates the capturing of some kind of paranormal evidence that, you know, our naked senses, such as sight and hearing, aren't necessarily privy to, because there's this, the theory is that spiritual activity has, you know, can manipulate the electromagnetic field of a place. So in that instance, the electronic meters can pick up things that, as I say, our naked senses can't. And that makes logical sense to me. I mean, there are things that can be seen in infrared light that our naked eyes can't see. So, you know, if you're using different methods other than what God gave us, then perhaps you've got a better percentage chance of perhaps capturing something that you know can't be seen, heard, and you know, in your everyday world.
Absolutely.
I have a question, if I may, Michael. Do you mind? So I'm sure you guys have been asked this 1,000 times, but I got to ask it anyway. Has there ever been an investigation that you've done that stands out being more unusual than the other? In other words, have you ever had something really strange happen or see something strange on your excursions?
You mean in terms of paranormal? No. In terms of meeting with...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People we meet. That's a very strange thing.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're. I mean, just about every story that we investigate. I mean, they are. These are very, very strange things. There are strange things going on, definitely, and not necessarily paranormal things. I mean, if it were paranormal, you could kind of say, "Whoa, I don't understand that. That's crazy." But the fact knowing that it's what these things are happening in the real world, and you know, there are people doing some very strange things. You gotta remember, we're weird New Jersey. We're not paranormal New Jersey.
I understand that.
One aspect of what we do. So weird can be anything.
That makes sense.
You know, I like to say that some of the people that we meet
are weird.
Are way, way out there. I mean, right. If some guy, you know, says to, you know, he knows where the portal to the inner earth is.
Oh, shit.
And then you go and you meet him and he looks like he came from within the inner earth. And then he invites you to go with him.
Wow.
You know, you're in a very strange situation.
Well, if I may, all I want to say is, like, based on a lot of the stories that I've read out throughout the years, the decades, I should say, of the stories that you've covered. For example, you know, the things on top of the telephone poles on Route 23, certain rocks that are balanced on top of each other. You know, you're dealing with, and I realize you're not a paranormal investigating team. I realize that. But sometimes you do get some stories that are just out there that you can't explain it. And so, yeah, what you answered, Moran, that it definitely makes sense. I guess what I'm asking is, has there anything ever been anything that stood out more so than anything else in what you've done? And I realize that's a very broad question. You've been doing this for so many years. You must get asked all the time. Even Mark told me, Mark Skirman told me, don't ask me that question, but I'm asking.
And here you are. And you're doing it.
But, you know, like,
it has to depend on what you're asking. You're asking on what's the weirdest house we've ever seen, or who's the weirdest person we've ever encountered, or where's the strangest place we've ever, you know, it's you got to remember, Mike, we're in the publishing business. Every 6 months we got to put out a product. So we're always like constantly just like going and going and going. So it's hard to really, like, you know, I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me. I really don't. That's the hardest. That's the hardest question everybody asks.
I could tell you when Mark gets the most freaked out, but it has nothing to do with anything paranormal. Sometimes we'll go into, let's say, an abandoned building, and I think heights are Mark's greatest fear.
Yes.
Right. Don't worry, mine are too. I'm afraid of heights.
He actually turns to a pillar of salt when we're standing at the edge of a 10-story drop and investigating.
I don't blame him.
Walk across the rebar to get like across it. I was like, no fucking way, man.
Right. That's a smart man right there.
I had to like brace. I had to brace myself against the wall.
Yeah.
The Wheatsworth.
Yeah.
Pakistan.
And by the way, someone in the chat room is asking, have they found certain areas of New Jersey? And I can't really read the rest of this question. It's sort of cut off, but they're asking about magnetic anomalies.
Throughout New Jersey, we have what are known as gravity roads or gravity hills. And I think that there's about five, perhaps six throughout the state where, the places have a long history of places where you can go and put your car in neutral and roll uphill instead of downhill.
Whoa.
So it's always a fun experience, especially if you're in a car full of your friends, to go and try these places out for yourself. And it really is an odd sensation when you look at a place and you think I'm pointing downhill. And if I go into neutral, I'm just going to keep going forward. And then all of a sudden, the car starts to roll backwards up the hill. And all of a sudden, all that you know about the laws of physics no longer seem to apply.
Wow.
And it's not only just a story, although there are stories that try to explain it, but it's a physical sensation that, is very experiential. The story, of course, is always that they tell is that there's some sort of ghost that perhaps got hit by a car at that spot, and they're trying to push the car away or push the car away from an intersection where a bus full of children was killed.
It's always the children in the bus that get killed.
Yes. Well,
goes hand in hand.
That's what our original goal was, to set out to collect that sort of folklore like that had only been passed down in the oral tradition. And we started to find these spots specific. They're always very specific spots where you're supposed to go. And we collected that and compiled it. And I'm pretty sure, without a doubt, we were the first people to ever do that.
Pretty wild. But yeah, the question was actually, have they found certain areas of New Jersey to have more magnetic anomalies than others? And you kind of already sort of answered that.
Yeah. I think specifically the caller is talking about like the spook lights, the Flanders spook lights, where magnetic activity happens underneath the railroad tracks, where you actually see these balls of light come down the tracks.
Yeah. I saw something like that that was videotaped on YouTube not too long ago, and it was real. It's basically this lightning just kind of rolling down the road, down the railroad tracks.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
The Hooker Man lights, right?
The Hooker Man. By the way, we have a
outside of New Jersey, go like that magnetic hill, with the ringing rocks and everything, which is like kind of a weird, place to visit.
That is pretty awesome. And by the way, we do have a fun question for you guys here. One of our listeners is asking, have either of the guests encountered a gay ghost or gay Mothman?
Gay Mothman?
Yeah, a homosexual Mothman and a homosexual ghost. I think that's what they're asking. I guess they're wondering if something paranormal, like a ghost or an entity, sort of like, stroke your downstairs area there. I think that's what they're asking. I don't know. I'm just assuming here.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Well, that's the chat room. I'm sorry.
I'm getting thrown off now.
I've never gotten so to know a ghost intimately enough to
unfortunately know that you haven't
they had a gender persuasion of or a preference of any kind.
I wish that's the sort of an experience I had too with the paranormal. That'd be pretty cool.
Now, a lot of times you guys go to places like Mike Skirman just said, you've gone to places that are like abandoned buildings and property. You know, do you ever have issues where police show up and tell you to get off the property, or maybe some guy with a shotgun saying, get off my lawn?
Yeah, that's happened a couple of times. Actually, both of those things have happened.
Oh, my.
A shotgun incident happened in a abandoned boys orphanage out in the woods of northern New Jersey. And the police arresting incident happened in an old abandoned convent up in North Jersey as well. So
actually got arrested, though,
in 30 years to only be arrested and fined once.
It's pretty good.
I think that's a pretty good record. And, right. You know, it's a write off. So,
they actually arrested you guys.
They arrested. Yeah, that was.
Whoa.
I unfortunately happened to be in the place when the. If I were any other day, any other time, I would have been fine. But when the police came to flush out squatters that would happen to be living there, and it was a tremendous old abbey and fantastically picturesque place. And, you know, a person had taken up residency there, not bothering anybody. But unfortunately, I happened to be there when the county marshals came to flush them out.
Oh, so. My. That sucks. But it makes for a great luck. It makes a great story, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I say it was a business write off.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's that's it. How about like any other kind of trouble? Have you ever had any other people give you a hard time or trouble in any sense?
No. I mean, if we're dealing with a story that involves private property, like somebody's residence, I mean, a lot of times people do crazy things with their property. We'll ask them, do they want to be featured in a publication? And generally they are really happy about it, because let's face it, if somebody's doing something totally crazy with their property, they want attention. Right. So this is a great opportunity for them.
Yeah.
Other than that, like a lot of the places we've featured, let's say like abandoned mental asylums or something, those are state facilities. So as a taxpayer, we own them. So I can say anything about them that I want. The state can't do anything about that. You know, those are, you know, places that, were paid for by us. So I'm going to say whatever I want about it. And it's history. You know, so a lot of these places have stories about them that need to be told. And, that's what we're here to do. As well, Mark said earlier, we primarily are journalists.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Moran, not for nothing, I've all the magazines and the books that I've read and gone through over the decades, a lot of them are locations, and asylums, prisons, houses, and it's always fascinating, which is to the point what we were talking about before. It's not just a magazine on paranormal. It's a magazine on weird things, from the paranormal, ghosts, to locations and odd things that may happen, whether they are nature related, human induced, or just plain paranormal unexplained situations. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, places like that usually work on a number of different levels because of the real human drama that went on in them. So right. They are ripe for paranormal stories of hauntings. They often usually have a very interesting and sometimes a tragic history about them, and they're also fantastic visually. So the photographs of them and the the opportunity to give people a look inside is really a terrific way to share the story with them.
Very cool. And how did this interest for you guys begin, first of all? I mean, Mr. Skirman and Mr. Moran, did you guys have any sort of weird encounters before, you know, you guys started doing this?
No, I think the whole premise of the magazine, just it was just a bored suburban youth. And we realized that nobody was ever writing about these local legends, these, you know, albino villages, heartbeat roads, as history. So we kind of presented it as history.
I think that everybody had in their hometown, you know, one or two of these stories where you know, you when you were teenagers, you'd get in your car with your friends and you'd go out to a place.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like Albino Village or
Annie's Road.
Annie's Road. So everybody, every town had one of these late night visitation places that had a story behind it. But those stories usually never left the perimeters of the town where they were found. I mean, maybe the next town over would hear them. So when Weird New Jersey started, and it was extremely local to Bloomfield, really, originally, and then Essex County, and then people started bootlegging it and passing it around. And it did get out. Remember, this was prior to the internet. So, you know, people couldn't just go on Facebook and share stories. The only place to share them was really through the magazine. It became like a local community bulletin board, and people from all over started sharing stories. And then we realized that, every town in New Jersey has at least one of these stories. So our mission was really quite simple: collect them all and share them with everybody.
A great idea.
And earlier you guys mentioned the place called Midgetville. I have no idea what the hell that is, and I am quite quite curious to know what Midgetville is.
Well, it's a community of very small people. What can we tell you?
That was one of our great quests. When the magazine started, was to track down Midgetville, because everybody had a story of a tiny town where all of these former circus performers lived, and all of the buildings, the houses, and everything were scaled down to their peculiar needs. So everything, you know, houses were only about 8 feet high, and doorways were only like 4 feet high. And we had heard stories that there were Midgetvilles located in like five different places: Edgewater and Totowa and Rancocos. And we had to, you know, get in the car and look for all of these places. And and it was fascinating when you got there, when you got up to Jefferson and realized, wait, these really are small. And hey, guess what? The Ringling Brothers mansion is right across the street. You know, maybe this makes sense.
Wow.
Did it?
I think to a large extent, especially the Jefferson, where the Ringling Brothers, their performers all wintered there when the circus was off the road. So, you know, when we found these little cottages, we started to think that, well, it certainly would make sense if you're going to build little cottages for your performers. Wouldn't you make smaller ones for the smaller performers? I mean, why would you make a countertop that's 3.5 feet high when you have people living there that are only 2.5 feet high? You know?
And you got to remember, like, we were like, back then, like, researching Midgetville, we were like gonzo journalists. There wasn't really much information to gather, so we had to ride around the state with maps, not even a GPS, just with you know, Hagstrom maps.
Yep. Wow, that's amazing.
That is cool.
It's all in a day's work, Mike and Mike.
Of course, for you guys, yeah. I gotta ask now too. With all the work and research that you guys have done, Do you have like a separate garage just full of files and video and, you know, all kinds of data?
Well, it's all up in the warehouse. We have boxes of VHS tapes.
Your tape is there, Mike?
Old. Yeah.
Go ahead, Skirman.
Yeah, we have file cabinets and boxes and bins. And, you know, over the years, we tried to digitize as much of it as we could. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, we tried to file it as best we could, but there are still uncategorized documents.
There's like files with folders that just with old newspaper clippings.
Right.
You know, that's where we started. Newspaper clippings, file it in the cookie jar house in Glendora. So it's filed in there.
So if I may ask, either one of you guys want to answer this. Now, you mentioned that there's going to be a new show coming up based on the stories from Weird New Jersey. That's what Sony Pictures is doing, right? So when is that coming out? When can we expect that? What's the name of it?
Right.
Well, we don't know when it's coming out. It will be called Weird New Jersey, but it's out of our hands when it comes out. The show has a studio, which is Sony. It has a writing team and a production team. They need to make a pilot, and then they need to sell the pilot to somebody who's going to air it, whether that be a regular cable TV channel or whether it be a streaming service, Netflix or something like that. So, you know, a lot of the pieces are in place, but they haven't actually they've written the script for the pilot, but they haven't filmed it yet. So a lot of it's very much up in the air. So whenever most people ask us that question, we just say, ask us next year.
Yeah. In other words, it hasn't really been pitched yet to most television networks yet.
Well, I'm sure it's been pitched behind closed doors. They they play those cards pretty close to their vest. As I say, all of the pieces are in place to produce it. And then, you know, I'm sure that you won't hear anything about that
later.
It's gone around to the networks.
And Mr. Skirman and Mr. Moran, what network would you like to be on if you can choose one?
There are so many great networks putting out really quality shows now. Paramount Plus is putting out great shows. Netflix is putting out tremendous shows. HBO is putting out great shows. And I'm sure, you know, I'm not picking those particularly. There's a lot of really good material that's not on broadcast TV. So, you know, I'm fine with any of those because they're going to do, you know, a real good job on it.
Well, I'm hoping you guys land.
I would hope we'd be on the Home Shopping Network, right? Right? That's what TV's all about.
Oh, that would work. But I'm just hoping you guys land on a good network and your show goes a couple seasons long there so you guys can get those lovely residual checks.
Yeah. I hope you guys will come back once the show is up and running so we could do another interview with you guys.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed, Mike. And
thank you. I'll be in touch
with
you.
We'll see where we are next year, right?
Definitely.
Do you think that in this internet world that we have now fallen into, I can almost answer this myself. I don't think it's affected you guys with your print magazine, but do you have an opinion on that? Do you think that the way the world is going with no longer having a lot of print places? I mean, you said it yourself, all the bookstores that used to carry the magazine, they're all gone. They're out of business. Do you think that is a good thing? Do you think it's bad? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think we have our own fan base, and I think that's good enough. You know, there's no reason to expand it more than what people like us for, you know?
We're in the business for people who like to read. And so the internet, you know, that's like short attention span theater.
Right.
People people want to jump around and stuff, and we're here for people who actually want entertainment. They want to learn something, perhaps. They want to be taken on a journey that, you know, they're actually going to have to be invested in and, you know, concentrate on for a little while. And like any good entertainment, it's going to take you out of your day-to-day life. So it's very well thought out, well produced content that you're not going to get on Facebook, and you're not going to, you know, mostly likely see on YouTube. It's, you know, we do all of those things. We have our YouTube channel, we have our, you know, all of our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that, but those things are all just the tip of the iceberg. The real story is the print story.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I there's something in my opinion, there's something about having literature in your hand. Like whenever I read a book, and I read a lot, whenever I finish reading a book, it's almost prideful to put that book on a shelf. I mean, I've got all my Weird New Jersey magazines. As a matter of fact, I remember, Mark, you had given me those I forget what you call them. They're like magazine holders. It was like a box, you know.
Yeah,
you had given me two or three of those, and I put all my magazines in that. So it's like, you know, when people come over, they see all my stuff, and it's kind of like a like trophies. You know, I read this. This is what I know.
Well, you know, we tried to do like the digital print. Nobody wants to buy it. For some reason, everybody wants to covet the Weird New Jersey magazine, you know.
Yeah, they want something physical.
They don't want it on, you know, the internet.
Yeah, they don't want a PDF format of your magazine.
I couldn't agree more. You know, not to get off the subject, but when I did my book, I did my book about my history of music, one of the things I did not do was make a Kindle version. It was only made as a print book. You could not get it online. And I only did that because I wanted to appeal to those people who were going to buy the book and read it and keep it, rather than getting it on Kindle, getting it online, reading it, and then who knows what you do with it after that. I guess that's fine for some people. I just don't have.
Well, a lot of folks have ADD, so, you know, Mike, a lot of people don't want to read it, but that's all, you know, and always a, well, not like that, but I mean, a great option.
That's pretty much where New Jersey's credo is also. I mean, you know, You got to buy it and read it. You can't, like, nothing is free, right?
Right, of course. But a good alternative would always be an audiobook version of Weird New Jersey and a audio version of your book too, Mike, because people have ADD. Nobody wants to read a goddamn thing these days. You know, they'd rather just hear
That's
it.
True.
I don't know. Even audiobooks, it would take you like months to like go through it, right? Don't you think?
Well, yes and no. I mean, a lot of folks love that here in 2023. It's a new thing. People love audiobooks, believe it or not. It's just more convenient for some.
I can appreciate the audiobooks, but that, you know, it would still be a somewhat inferior product because...
well, true.
You know, we take great pride in our imagery as well, not only our photographs, but our illustrations. And as everybody knows, a picture, you know, can say 1,000 words. And
yes,
the accompaniment of the photos and the illustrations with the text in the magazine is a tremendous step up from just somebody, you know, reading the text itself.
I get you for sure. This is also another reason why I like vinyl a lot. You know, I like records. I like opening the big record and seeing all the lovely photographs inside, which
is
something
that's
work of art. Yeah, it's a work of art, exactly. So I get that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And totally with the magazine too. You put all that. I did one magazine on my own, a fanzine back in, oh goodness, I think it was 1994-5.
What was the name?
It was called This Evil on Earth. It was basically a promotion for my band Empire Hideous, but at the same time I had other people contribute poetry, music reviews, photographs, artwork, that sort of thing. And then I did my own commentary as well. So I gave myself, you know, I gave myself a time limit, 1 month to get everything together, printed it out myself. I think it was something like 40 pages. And I did it on a 18 by 12, stapled it myself, folded it, and sold 100 copies. And again, what I'm trying to get at is it becomes a work of art. I've also done a book written by hand written by hand with drawn pictures by myself in a handmade book. Now, it's a one-of-a-kind thing. These are works of art, in my personal opinion. I'm not bragging about my own stuff. I'm just saying, when you create something like Weird New Jersey Magazine, the magazine itself, you're putting an effort into it where you don't get the same thing that you would get if you got a Kindle version or a PDF online.
Well, I think the beauty of Weird New Jersey really is that we have great, you know, contributors, people write in stuff, and that's really what keeps – it's kind of like your fanzine, you know, people submit poetry or whatever, but it's you know, people want to have a story to tell, and there's really no other place to tell it, you know, crazy or not, than in other than Weird New Jersey Magazine.
Absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. And Mr. Skirman and Mr. Moran, I was curious, are you gentlemen religious at all?
Well, it depends. Is it Sunday?
I guess that answers that.
I am an ordained minister, so I am religious unto my own church.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I had no idea. I was just very curious if you guys
believe... if you want to join, you can be the second member.
Sure.
The Reverend Moran.
I'm not exactly a religious fellow myself, but it depends what day it is as well. Sometimes I have Jesus in my back pocket, and sometimes I don't.
Well, isn't that a tax write-off, Moran?
If I made any money, it would be, I guess.
Yeah, you'd have to have a church for that.
Yeah.
Wait, let me guess. The Universal Church, is that what it? Where you got your ministry from?
I can't really say I'm affiliated with any particular organized faith.
Gotcha. Okay, because I became an ordained minister as well from the Universal Church. I can marry people and that sort of thing.
You can marry people, Mike? The Satanist can marry people?
Yep. How much do you charge? Moran charges a lot of money.
Does he? Well, I'm going to charge a lot of money too.
Damn. Sounds like I'm in the wrong business.
Yes, my fee usually includes a dinner and free drinks at the wedding.
Nice.
Nice perks.
Yeah, good. Very nice. Well, gentlemen, you know, I had a ball with you guys here, and I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Yeah, I'm up 24% now on my phone.
So. Yeah, see, I had a feeling we're running low here, Mike. I know these gentlemen have busy lives. They want to get back to it, and... always a honor and pleasure to have both of you on here. That's Mr. Mark Skirman and Mr. Mark Moran. For those just joining in right now, you guys caught the show late, but you can hear a replay. And
from Weird New Jersey Magazine.
Right, Weird New Jersey Magazine. Go check them out. And Mark and Mark, the Marks. Any final words before we cut you guys loose?
Smoke more weed.
Oh.
If you want my opinion.
Thanks for having us on, Mike and Mike. It's a real pleasure. Mike Hideous, it's nice to talk to you again after all this time.
Likewise.
You know, we go way back. Check out weirdnj.com and we'll see you on the webs.
Very cool. Yeah, very, very nice. And again, I wish you guys the very best. I hope you guys... plenty of success. I hope you guys kill it and make a shit ton of money.
Thank you so much for coming on, guys.
From your lips to Satan's ears.
Love that. All right, gentlemen, we will cut you loose now. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. Brothers. And there they go, boys and girls. That was Mark and Mark. And I believe I hung up on everybody here. Let's try to bring Mike back on here. I didn't mean to hang up on the man. I apologize for that. Yo, what's going on? There you are. I'm sorry, I hung up on you.
What did you do? Hang up on me?
Yeah, I hung up on you like that last time with Gary.
That was interesting, huh? What do you think?
That was awesome. I had a great time there talking to both Marks, Marky Mark and Mark.
Wasn't that confusing tonight? Mark and Michael.
It was a fun show. I had a great time. You know, I wasn't quite sure what we were going to you know, be able to talk about here tonight. And, you know, I was kind of like, you know, I got to be on my best behavior. They're probably pitching the show or they already have the show locked down. So
that's
I'm like, oh, shit, I have to be careful here.
Right, right. That's what I was thinking, too. I thought they already had something lined up or were current, other than the paranormal show that they do as featured guests, you know, giving their opinions on what they see. But yeah, I, you know, I've known Mark Skirman longer than I've known Mark Moran. And we've been friends all these years. I recently reconnected with him about, oh, maybe about a year ago. And I just figured out, you know what? I said, let me ask Michael if he would be interested in doing an interview with them. And I'm glad we did, because there's so much history that they, and when I say history, I mean folklore history from New Jersey, as well as the other states that they did the books for when they went on that national tour, collecting stories for each book that they put out. So I think it's great what they've been doing all these years. And as I've said before, I've even contributed my own stuff to them as photographs and
on video, evidently.
Well, just the video was strictly an audition when they got the television show. I wanted to be a special reporter, so to speak, or special journalist that would only come on once in a while and do on a special story. That was the whole premise of the idea of me doing the video, to show them that I had the ability to do a journalistic story on something, you know, by being videotaped.
And what happened? They said no to you.
Well, you know, it's their show, so you know they could pick and choose obviously what they wanted to do. And I don't think they ever had anybody else doing anything on the show than themselves.
Well, Mike, I got to be honest. If that was me, you know what would have happened. Oh, you don't like my audition tape? Oh, you want me to come over and do this? Well, I will.
Take that.
I'll shoot you faster than that woman from January 6th. What was her name? Ashley something?
Yeah, poor Ashley.
I'll shoot you in the head like Ashley.
Oh, jeez.
How about that?
How about that, sucker?
How about that?
But I'm glad you liked. I'm glad you liked the interview.
I did. It was fun. It was a great time. I enjoyed it. I hope they did too. I mean, right away they're talking about smoking weed and drinking beer. I thought,
I knew you were going to like that.
Well, I mean, I liked it. I just thought, well, is the network going to like that?
Yeah. Well,
I'm like, oh shit.
They are very down to earth guys, which is why I've remained friends with them all these years.
Well, I'm glad. Stuffy. Well, I'm glad you didn't shoot them, by the way. But I could see how you could have been tempted to.
You know, they've done well for themselves. So you got to respect that. Based on
They've been around, dude, for a long, long time. And like I told them, when you were telling me initially about them, I'm like, Mike, I know these guys already.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I'm glad you did. But I mean, think about it. The contents of their publications isn't exactly mainstream. So to get as far as they did with what they provide to their readers, it's quite astonishing. And I'm very happy for them. I've always been very happy for them.
They need to put out an audiobook.
You were saying it.
They need it. I'm telling you, lots of people out there, they don't want to read. The majority of folks out there listen to audiobooks nowadays.
You know, it's sad, Michael.
Get with the times.
I believe you're true. I believe it's true.
It is. It's a fact. Yeah. And I like to be backed by the facts.
It's sad when you think about it, because I love reading. I try to read as much as I possibly can. For a while, there was about a year and a half that I was just uninterested. But I've recently been reading books again, and, you know.
So, in other words, you're saying that you're smart now.
I've been smart.
You're
a
smart guy.
I'm a fart smeller.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a smart feller.
Right on. Mike, you know, it's always a honor and pleasure to be doing the program with you. And we are coming to an unfortunate close here. And, you know, I hate to do it, Mike, but it's ending.
I know it's ending. End of days.
I know, right? What was that all about?
Yeah, he really caught me off guard with that.
Yeah, I'm like, end of days. That's not the name of this program. The Michael Deacon program. Okay, enough of that. I got tired of that.
Got bored quick.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll play this little this little drop here made by one of our listeners, and it actually annoyed me right now. How to get rid of it. But anyways, I do want to thank all of you out there for hanging out with us here tonight, those of you in the chat room, and of course, those of you that will listen later on a replay. Really appreciate that. Definitely look for the Michael Deacon program on iTunes, Stitcher, basically everywhere you listen to podcasts is where you'll find my show, our show, the Mark and Mark Show. I'm just going to call this the Mark and Mark Show.
What, are you confused too?
No, not really.
No? Oh, okay.
I just wanted to call it the Mark and Mark Show. That sounds like a good radio sort of name. It's like a morning drive show that, you know, we all hate.
Runs off the tongue better.
Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue.
Those morning drive shows, the morning talk shows, my God.
A painful, painful thing.
They're the worst.
Ugh. What all the sound effects and oh my goodness.
There's too many.
You know, in the days of when radio was much more bigger, obviously, than the internet, of course, but even before the internet, you had all those shows, the Z100 shows, you know, right?
Mark and Brian.
That out by you.
Yeah, I had a bunch of terrible shows I've been listening to forever. I don't even listen to make fun of it, though.
I can't tolerate them.
Well, Mike, I don't blame you. It's shit.
It is.
It really is. So, Mike, once again, any final words before I cut you loose now?
Yeah, just in case anybody's interested, my book is still available, King of an Empire to the Shoes of a Misfit, by yours truly. You can get that at MikeHideous.com. And that's about it, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mark and Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you to the listeners.
Thank you
to anybody listening on the podcast. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. Always a pleasure. And Mike, you're not going to be with us on Friday, are you?
I'm afraid not.
You're fired.
What? It depends, because I'm not going to be back until after 10 o'clock my time.
Yeah, it's at 3 p.m.
I can't.
We have Dean Ryan coming on.
I know. You were telling me.
Well,
yeah,
now,
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be available.
Now I'm sad.
Oh. I'll make it up to you, buddy.
I wanted you here, and now you're going to be gone. Mike, why do you have to leave?
Phooey.
I thought we had a good thing going here, and now you are sort of dumping me.
Yeah, well, I got bored.
Well, it happens. That's why I'm like, damn, you guys aren't bored of each other yet, the Marks?
Yeah, right? They've been together longer than a marriage, you were saying.
Yeah, way longer than a marriage. I would have just probably strangled you by now, Mike.
Yeah, I got to tell you, before we disconnect here,
yeah.
Earlier on, and I don't know who it was, but was sending something on the YouTube chat, something about interviewing them for something with 666 and the family of the devil.
I don't know that. I mean, that's Roman, I believe, who's a longtime listener. I like him very much, but I have no idea what any of that meant.
Yeah, I don't either.
I have no clue. Well, I mean, that's how it goes. Sometimes you see these things in the chat room and you have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, here you go. It says right here, I'm half a bottle down on Crown Black Royal.
Oh, shit.
Sipping slowly in my mansion.
Well, I like that. See, he's living
good
it
for
up.
Him.
Yeah, good for him. And I believe this is from Dr. Strange something here. Is it Dr. Strange Love? Is that who it is?
Responding to Roman?
I can't really read the chat room too well. These monitors are too far away from my little eyes. But,
okay,
yeah,
so what are you seeing?
Yeah, it is Dr. Strange Love. He's saying, Deacon, did you rape a guy?
Jesus Christmas.
I guess he's asking if I raped a man.
Okay.
Well, I've raped many men, I guess.
All right.
I guess.
And Roman also called you Michael Obama.
Michael Obama. The Messiah.
Obama Messiah.
Yeah, he was the Messiah to a lot of folks out there.
He was the king.
King Obama.
In his own fucking mind.
You didn't like Obama?
You're joking, right?
Well, yeah, but you didn't like him?
The anti-American, American-hating twat.
Oh, Mike, how dare you talk about a former president like that?
Oh, he was a president? I'm sorry. I thought he was the king.
He was.
Right. King Hussein.
King Hussein, the fallen messiah. So, Mike, once again, thank you so much for being a part
of the program. Buddy.
Always a honor and pleasure to have you here. We'll do it again on the other side, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. Have a good day.
Kwanzaa.
Wait, today's Wednesday. Have a good week, and I'll see you or hear you or talk to you when I do. Take care, Mike.
You got it. And there he goes, boys and girls. That was the co-host of this program, Mr. Mike Hideous. And I do want to thank all of you out there, those of you who tried calling in. I'm sorry I didn't pick up your call there. I apologize, I really do. But next time, Friday, I definitely want you guys to call in and to hang out with me and Dean Ryan. We're going to drop it hard, drop it fast. It's going down faster than a Chinese hospital. You wanted to rape a man last show. Dr. Strangelove is saying I wanted to rape a man last show. And it's true, I did want to rape a man. I was in the mood for rape, raping a man, some man rape. And no, I wasn't successful raping a man. I'm sorry, Dr. Strangelove. I failed to do so. But next time, they won't be so lucky. Anyways, boys and girls, it was fun. I had a great time. I hope you had a great time. We'll do it again Friday for sure. And my God, definitely join us over on patreon.com/Michael Deacon. And that is where gold falls from the sky. Plenty of great episodes there. I recommend it. If you like this program, go sign up today. $1, $2, $3, $5, whatever you got. We could use that here. Without you, this program is dead in the water, unfortunately, and so am I. Once that dries up, I'm dead. I'll be living in the street. So once again, boys and girls, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll do it again on the other side. And with that said, the world is a mysterious place, and life itself is a mystery. Until next time, good night, boys and girls.